As we continue to look through our study on Romans, I thought it'd be good to start this morning by recapping kind of the last few weeks and what we've talked about. And the whole point in my mind of going through the book of Romans as we are is to, I don't think you can go through Romans without feeling drawn or growing closer to God. A few weeks ago we looked at how we have been called by God to choose faith, to make that choice, to have faith in Him, and to live a life of purity. And a few weeks ago, we looked at how it's God's job to judge others and not our own. And we need to be careful as we make an impression of someone that it's not a judgment, but just a mere impression. And last week, we looked a little bit about how God created work, but also how work can be taken way overboard and we can get that in the way of our relationship with God. And so today we're going to look at somebody, or at Romans 4, 1 through 3. But it talks about the life of Abraham, who, as I've read through Abraham's life in Genesis more than once, it never really dawned on me till I studied and looked at what Paul said in Romans 4, 1 to 3, actually the whole chapter of Romans, but how Abraham's life truly was a life of faith and not of works. So Romans 4, 1 through 3. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Verse 3. Abraham believed God. Simply all it says that he did was simply believed God. So I couldn't help, as I looked at that, I got very curious. What does it mean that just Abraham believed God? So I went back to Genesis 12, where it starts talking about Abraham's life, and where God called Abraham called him to follow him. See, Abraham was living with his father in Haran, and he was living with him comfortably. And he'd been there quite a while now. And he was married to Sarah, of course. But Abraham, at this point, they had no children. And he was 75 years old. And God called him to leave. And I'm going to read Genesis 12, verse 1. And God was pretty simple. He said, "The Lord said to Abram," because at that point God hadn't changed his name yet, so he was still Abram. God said to Abram, "Leave your country, leave your people, leave your father's household, and go. Go to the land I will show you." There's not a whole lot there. Now it continues to say, "If you go, I will bless you in many, many ways." But it just says go. Leave everything. Everything you know. Leave your father's house. Leave the land you're comfortable in. And go. But I think we need to pay attention. It doesn't tell him where to go. God doesn't say where you're going ahead of time. He just says faithfully go. Amen. And what did Abraham do? He went. 75 years old he was when he packed his bags, left his father's house, 75 years old. It only took me 38 years to decide it was time to leave my father's house. But it took him 75 years. But at 75 years, he was basically starting over. But he didn't know where he was going. He just went. And so I looked more into Abraham's life. And his whole account is pretty much Genesis 12 through Genesis 25. And in all those accounts, there's nothing in there that even gives the hint that God chose Abraham, that called him out to be the father of many nations. There's nothing in there that says he did this because of something he had done. God chose Abraham, and Abraham faithfully said yes. That is what Paul was referring to back in Romans in 1 through 3 when he said Abraham believed God and followed. God blessed him. Abraham faithfully surrendered his life, the life he knew, and gave it to God. Now, I can relate quite a bit to that story. For me, it was when I first started sensing a call into ministry. It would have been a whole lot easier at that point to say yes. I would have probably said yes instantly had I known God was going to place me here. Where I was going to go would have made it a whole lot easier knowing where I was going to say yes. But then, and I thought about that a lot this week, I really wouldn't have been saying yes to God. I would have been saying yes because I knew where I was going and I knew it was great people. So sometimes when God asks us to do something, there's a reason. He doesn't give us all the details. There's a big reason he doesn't give us all the details, because we need to have that leap of faith. Take that step to what God's calling us to do. It would have been easy for me to say yes had I known where I was going. So then what makes it hard to say yes? One, it's not knowing. It's the unknown of the future. And with that comes a lot of fear. The fear of leaving comfort. Leaving that comfortable life we're used to. Leaving what we've known our entire life to step out and to do God's work. It's hard to surrender when you don't know where you're going. And even whether it's surrendering our entire life or where we're going, or some of us might be just struggling with surrendering that little nagging, maybe it's a sin or something that we know God or the Spirit's calling us to get rid of in our life, to set aside, to step out. But we don't want to do it because I don't know what's going to happen when I do. Don't know where God's going to take me from here. That fear can at times in our lives, that fear can be crippling. And I know for me it was, especially as we really started to look for a church where we were going to end up, God was really opening the doors to a small church in Maryland that, if you know me and you know I like the ruralness of this area, that was the exact opposite. And I knew it would be a horrible struggle for me to adjust there. But God was opening these doors. And I knew God called me into ministry. So for me, it was a big struggle to surrender even that. I've already surrendered it. I'm going, yes, God, I will go into ministry and go where you call. But why are you calling me here? This isn't what I want. And sometimes, and what happened in this case was, I lost a lot of sleep over that. But what happened was God, in this case, just had to break me down to the point where I could say, God, I know you know better, so if that's where you're taking me, then yes, I'm ready, I surrender. And in my life, it was probably about a week to a week and a half after I finally had that moment of surrender with God, that he started closing those doors and opening the doors to hear. So sometimes we have to remember that sometimes God just wants to make sure we're willing to surrender to him and to give him everything. Give him that little sin in our life that we don't want to get rid of, whatever it may be. And for each of us, it's probably different. Or surrendering your entire life into missions. It's a big deal. It's a big choice. But we have to remember something. When God calls us to do something, like with Abraham. And if we keep reading, we'll find that God didn't leave Abraham. If he calls us to do something, he won't leave us. He will be there with us the entire time. I remember, and this little story is going to cost me a few dollars, because when I speak of one of my children, then I owe him the rights to the story. So I remember when Reese was young. And what reminded me of this is I saw somebody trying to teach their son how to ride a bike over here the other day. But when Reese was learning to ride a bike, it was a struggle. There were times I wanted to just run into a wall as fast as I could. He would get on this bike, and it was a little one. He was probably only 3 or 4. And he would pedal, and he would ride. But I was right there with him holding on to the bike. And it'd get to the point where I'd let go of the bike, and I'd have to run a couple hundred yards beside him till he'd finally tire out. Because as soon as I'd stop running, he'd stop. He couldn't do it without me. Although he'd rode for probably a mile without me holding on to the bike, as you add up the times. Well, we're down at our cabin in West Virginia, and finally I'd had enough. So I stopped running as he's riding. And screaming. He's crying the whole time, mind you, when he's riding this bike. Screaming his head off. And so I finally stop. And he rides probably 200-300 yards. Notices I'm not with him. Puts the brakes on. Stops the bike. Falls over. Screaming his head off. Because he knew I wasn't with him. I had stopped. He needed that protection, that safety net of me being beside him. And as we step out for God to do something he's calling us, big or small, he never stops running alongside us. He's with us, and we can't forget that. And if we remember that, it makes it a whole lot easier to step out. Abraham, when he surrendered his life to God, it didn't get easy by any means. God said, go. And he led him out in the wilderness. Took him away from everything comfortable. He left with his wife, with Sarah, and Lot, and a few other things. Left out to the wilderness. See, God didn't say, let's go and this is where you're going. No, as they went, God led the way. But God was with him. Twice. Well, Abraham messed up a few times, but twice. In there, he messed up big, where he was afraid. For a split second, he took his eyes off and forgot that God promised to be with him. He told Pharaoh and King Abimelech at two different occasions that Sarah was his sister, because he was afraid that somebody would kill him if they thought he was his wife. But God was with him. If you keep reading, God cleaned up both of those situations. Basically said, Abraham, what are you doing? I'm with you. I'm with you. See, we're going to mess up as we step out, as we do things, as we surrender, or if we give God that little sin. We're going to mess up at times. But he's with us. He will help us walk through it. And we can't forget that. We cannot forget that. Abraham messed up big. On another occasion, had a child with Hagar. Because he wasn't waiting. He wasn't willing to wait. Him and Sarah got patience. See, God had promised them that he would be the father of many nations. But how's that going to happen when I don't even have a child of my own? So they got impatient. And part of having faith in God is also having faith and trusting God's timing in our lives. And Abraham wasn't willing to do that at one point. And had a child with Hagar. And God, we saw, cleaned up that situation as well. In all this, Abraham stepped out from the very beginning. And in every account, and please remember this, in every account that I've read in Genesis, God never, ever, ever left Abraham's side. Ever. And we can't forget that, because as we surrender to God, as we surrender to him, he will walk alongside us. He will not leave us. Without a doubt, God has been with me in my journey these past few years with my family. And as we surrender, we can't take that. We can't forget that God will be with us. So I'm going to close with a question. With a question I want you to ask yourself this week. First of all, when you go home today or whenever, I want you to be in prayer. What is it, God, that you're asking of me? Maybe it's just a little bit more of time in Scripture. Or maybe it's just a little bit more of sharing His Word to others. Or maybe it's just when you get out of bed in the morning, smiling a little more. What is it you're asking me to do, God? That's what you need to ask yourself. Every day this week, whether it's, you know, I like to, when I need to be reminded to do things weekly, I like to pick something that, a habit of mine that I do. One thing you can choose is every time you look at your cell phone, remind yourself, ask, okay, God, what is it you want me to do? And as you figure it out, then you need to ask the big question, what is keeping me, God, what is keeping me from surrendering it to you? And so every time I like to, when I pull out my cell phone or get in a car, start your car, God, what is it that keeps me from surrendering? And as you'll go through the list of things to surrender over to God, you'll run out of excuses. And remember, when you do finally surrender, because you will, God is faithful and He will not leave you. Let's pray. Lord God, Father, we praise you and thank you for this time. And God, we thank you for faithful people you've provided in the past, like Abraham, that was not afraid to step out and to follow your leading, even not knowing where they're going. Lord God, we pray. God, I pray for the hearts in this congregation that as they face this week, that they can step out and surrender to you, whether it's big or small, Lord. And that their faith in you will grow and continue to grow. And Lord, we know that you won't leave us or forsake us. All praise and glory be to you. Amen.